No.
Yoga teacher training course, September 1, 2011, and we're just about to talk about the five elements in the yoga framework. We understand that everything in the universe arises from a common source, a unified field of pure awareness that lies at the heart of everything in existence. Einstein's the scientist who actually came up with the term unified field. He spent the last 30 years of his life trying to work out the mathematics of a unified field theory. It seems that on the basis of his experience of deep connectedness, moments of pure being and deep connectedness, that he had an intuitive sense that there was one source field in life, that all the other fields and and particles of matter arose from. So he's the one who coined the term unified field. Unfortunately for Einstein in his life, he wasn't able to work out the mathematics of a unified field theory, but there has been some very significant progress since then. This view in physics, or this theory in physics, that there is a unified field at the heart of everything in existence, is of course the experience of so many sages throughout history. And in the yogic world, the sages who had such exquisite and extraordinary clarity of awareness were able to do their research by going within and awakening to this profound, silent essence, which they described in the language of as a unified field. That was the source of all the vibrations, all the waves and vibrations of activity that dances all the forms of life. Now, from the sage's viewpoint, once that unmanifest unified field of pure awareness starts expressing itself in the material world, we start talking about the five elements. This is called the Mahabhutas. Maha means great. Maha means great. So Mahatma, a Mahatma is a great soul. Maha, Atma. Atma means the self, literally. And Mahatma is considered to be a very great soul. So Mahatma Gandhi. Maharishi, a Maharishi is a rishi who is considered great, a great rishi. So Maha you'll come across a lot, Maha, M-A-H-A. So the Mahabhutas are the five great elements. And it would be most useful for you to understand them as fields, five fields that are ever dancing in different combinations. And you could look at anything in the world around you and you could consider that each of the things you're seeing is a combination of the five elements. So when a human being is born, we could say at conception there's a unique combination of the five elements in their body-mind. And this is considered their prakriti, their nature. And in life, when we're in balance, we're always in alignment with our nature, our prakriti. But of course, through all sorts of lifestyle issues, all sorts of different experiences, we can get out of balance with our nature. So the balance of the elements can get out. And yoga is a way of helping us to come back into harmony. So all the Vedic sciences, from yoga and Ayurveda and all the others, Stapachaveda, all these different ones, they're really designed to help us come back into harmony, to bring the balance back. Now, when we think of these five elements, they, we could say, range from subtle to gross. So the subtlest of the elements is the space element called Akasha. Akasha in Sanskrit. Its nature is spaciousness. So when you look around the room, what dominates in the room is space, isn't it? That's the number one thing in the room is space. That's even just on the outer level of the senses we see space. But if we look at even all the objects, they're basically space too. So space is very dominant, isn't it? Space is subtle, so it underlies all the other elements. There's always space. And the sense of hearing relates to space because vibration moves through space, it's sometimes called ether too, space or ether. And the sense of hearing is picking up on vibration. So that's an important connection to make. The next subtlest element is called the air element, vayu. And the air element is always moving. Its nature is to move. Wherever there's movement, wherever there's change, the air element is present. So the air element governs all the movement of the nervous system, the movement associated with blood supply, the movements of life. Anytime there's any movement, air element's always involved. So when we're going through a period of a lot of movement, a lot of change, more air element is active. And the air element is associated with the sense of touch. The sense of touch. Because to experience touch, what you're doing is you're actually experiencing the movement of molecules of air on your skin. That's what that experience of touch is. So we have the external touch as well as internal touch. The next subtlest element is the fire element, Agni, or Tejas. And the fire element is all about transformation. It's, when you put something into the fire, it's transformed. So the fire element is always transforming things. And it operates on different levels. For example, all the digestive activity of the system is primarily governed by fire element. The digestion of mental experience. You have some experience. How do you digest it? Well, your intellect, through perception and the function of the intellect, you digest it. Intellect is digesting things on a mental level. You know, that's what it's doing. So the fire element's involved with intellectual activity. Fire element's involved in any sort of transformation in that sense. And it is present all around us in the room at the moment in the form of warmth, in the form of light. So these are two expressions of the fire element. So when you look around the room, we've identified lots of space. We can't see it, but we can see where it is. We can identify air. We can't see that either, but we know there's air here. And if we see any movement, we recognize air. Fire element, whether you're feeling warm in the tummy, you're experiencing the light coming from the globe, any warmth, any heat, any light, that's the fire element's presence. And then the next element is the water element, called up, water element. And the water element is really to do with fluidity, and also cohesiveness. Fluidity is the main sign that the watermelon is present. So wherever there's vegetation, lushness, so the beautiful leaves, water element's present. There's more water element in a lush leaf than in a sparse leaf. There's plenty of water element in our bodies, of course. There's water element all around us all the time. And whenever there's water element, say when someone's moving, if you watch someone move and wow, they move with such grace, that's water element. Wherever you see grace in movement, that's like fluid movement, flow, fluid movement, that's the water element. And then the grossest of all of the elements is the earth element. It's called prithvi in Sanskrit, prithvi. And the earth element is found wherever there's solidity, stability, the sense of support. So, of course, the obvious earth element, we think, oh, we're in the garden. That's, we stand on the earth. But the earth element is there wherever we experience any of these things. Stability, groundedness, anchoredness. Right now, you're sitting on chairs, and if you just notice the sensation of your body in contact with the chair, it's being supported. That is the experience of the earth element. So wherever you experience solidity, stability, support, groundedness, this is the earth element. And of course, wherever there's firmer objects, defined objects, this is all earth element. All five elements are present everywhere together. Even when you look up into the sky and you think, wow, when you look up into the sky, it seems to be mainly space. Mainly space. It's nighttime now. We look up into the sky, what do we see? Well, it's dark. There's definitely a sense of space. Air element? Well, if there's any movement, we'll see. There's a little bit of wind. Air element, we know, yeah. And intellectually, we know, well, there's still plenty of air, we're breathing that. But wherever there's movement, we definitely recognize the air element. So we recognize it. We can't see it, but we know it's there. What about the fire element? Tonight, when you look up into the night sky, can you see any fire element? The stars. So the light and the warmth of the stars. The moon, there's a little bit of moon there tonight. This is all fire element, even though it's much milder. So compare the fire element coming from a soft moon with the fire element midday, midsummer in Eastern Australia. Very different. That is a very intense fire element, whereas one is just a very soft touch of fire element. So the fire element is out there in the night sky. What about the water element?
Clouds.
Clouds. So there's plenty of water out there. Clouds. And what about earth element? Well, in the daytime you can't really see much earth element, can you? We could say there's objects of stars, but we can feel it. And we know there's so many dust particles, there's so many particles that are present in the air around us in the sky. My car was parked outside yesterday, and it left a very clear reflection of how much earth element there was in the air during the day, because there was dust all over it. So the five elements, they're present everywhere. Wherever you look, they're present. They're just in varying combinations. Okay? So this is a very important principle, because we work with the elements always in yoga and in Ayurveda. And we're working with them in this series of asanas. So the first set of the Pavanmuktasana series is very much focused. They're anti-rheumatic, and these are focused on the care of the joints, and they are very much focused with literally the release of the excess air element from the joints. The second series, the digestive and abdominal group, these are much more focused on stimulating and balancing fire element. And this is present more in a strong seat of the fire element in the body is the abdomen. The chakra, called the Manipura chakra, here in just below the physical navel is a very strong sight of the fire element. So when we think of the expression, we say in English, someone's got fire in their belly. Fire in their belly. This is quite literal from a yogic energetic viewpoint. So this is good to know that this series, the series two, is having a very helpful effect on stimulating fire element. But not only stimulating fire element, there are poses in here that are very, very good for balancing certain aspects of the air element. There are five ways that the air element in the body are described according to their function and location. And we won't go into it too much now, but just recognize that the prana is, we normally translate it as life force. Vayu, or air, is another way that it's sometimes described, prana. Prana's, perhaps we want to understand it on the bigger picture level. Prana is the very nature of awareness. So wherever awareness goes, prana goes with it. So when we think of the whole universe, prana is the life force that's animating everything at all times. It's sometimes described as the goddess prana, the prana shakti or kundalini. So the prana in a particular form that is awakening through our practices. I've just introduced this framing for you because I think it's helpful for you to have this early to be mindful when you're going through some of these practices. And if we just have a look at these practices in the series two, any comments that you want to make about any of these practices? So there was a comment about being mindful of lower backs. Lower back problems energetically are a result of an imbalance in the air element, and specifically apana is one of the five aspects of that air element, of the prana, that relates to this area of the body. And at some point in our course, we can go into understanding this a little bit more, but when there's an imbalance on an inner level, energetically, it will manifest on an outer level. Okay, so from the yogic model, as soon as you have a thought, you are creating a body. Every thought we have is enlivening a biochemical experience. As we're thinking, we're creating chemistry, not just in the brain, but in the whole physiology. We're constantly creating and shaping our body through our thought. Now, as soon as we have the thought, something is activated energetically in our pranic body, our energy body. And then it translates from there into something that's happening on an outer physical level, including on the brain. And whenever there's a blockage in the flow of awareness and in the flow of prana, that will result in a blockage to our health and well-being. It'll reflect somewhere in the outer body, so on the energy level and then on the outer body. And we could say that the health systems that underlie will certainly underlie yoga and the ancient Indian health system, Ayurveda, the health system that underlies Chinese traditional medicine, the health systems that underlie many other health models, recognizes that when there's an energetic block, a block to the flow of energy in the energy body, that will always result in a blockage on an outer level of the body, a health problem, physical or mental. And one of the ways to bring about healing is to clear the blockage on the level of the energy flow. So if you go to the acupuncturist, acupuncture is really trying to help clear blockage to the flow of energy in the body, in the energetic level, which will result in a freeing on an outer physical level. Shiatsu, you go to have a shiatsu massage, again, clearing the blockage. Yoga asanas, again, designed to bring the body into different positions that help clear blockage to the flow of the life force, the prana. Okay? How are we going with this? Mm-hmm. Absorbing?
You were talking about how we've got five elements externally. What about the five elements internally?
Yeah, so all the same. So we're talking about the five elements, whether they're outside the body, inside the body, the same five.
Yes.
So they're always seeking to be in balance.
But if we define them, because you define stars as having light, What internally has light?
So wherever there's, remember the fire element, wherever there's transformation, the fire element is present. So all your digestive enzymes, basically the digestive system is dominated by the fire element. And that fire element, it can manifest as heat, it can manifest as light. But the main word, that like the verb that would be an indicator that the fire element is present, is transformation. So when you're digesting food, and in Ayurveda, fire is the metaphor, we literally call the various stages of the digestive process and what governs them as different agnis or different fires, literally. So they're transforming. Like to create all the bodily tissue, everything we ingest has to be digested, and so all the different levels of the bodily fires, these different agnis, enable transformation of what we ingest to create the different levels of tissue. Any other question or comment?
If you were to give a label to the other four elements in the body, how would they?
Exactly the same. Wherever there's solidity, stability, anchoredness, groundedness. So anything that's, even when you look at the body, bodily parts, bone, compare bone to blood. You're noticing there's more earth element in the bone. Okay? When you're looking at the blood, there's much more water element, isn't there, in the blood than in the bone. But all five are present in the bone, all five are present in the blood. So we can look at any part of the body and look at it in the same way. Is that helpful?
I know that most of us have a mindset that we're solid, and so we're earth. That would be the mindset of most people until they maybe lose that sense of not exchanging. And so, isn't it talking more, and I guess I understand, isn't it talking more figuratively? So that sense of groundedness, so the sense of stability is a figurative element, and I agree with you, yes. But isn't it nice though, in a way, that's a lovely point, because in a way, if we recognise that we are earth and we have that solid factor about us, that's something going towards the fact, the way that we do our poses, and that we go, yes, I am that, I am part of this grounding between earth and myself, and I don't know. But yeah, I guess, aren't you talking figurative? I mean, to me, it's...
Well, this is good. So when you go into a pose, let's say you're going into a standing pose, you need to have a good foundation. So your feet are always the foundation in a standing pose. Yeah. So the experience of your feet in relationship to the floor or the earth is one where solidity and stability is going to be much higher than it. So earth element will be much more awakened in your feet to provide the foundation for the pose. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're doing a Virabhadrasana, a warrior pose, warrior two, you might have quite a lot of fire element in the sense of wherever there's strong focus, the fire element is there. Okay? So you've got, and maybe even the form, it's kind of like fire element is a bit more, you know, if you think of a triangle, that's a good symbol for fire element. You know, water element is very fluid, isn't it? Fire is focused and sharp, and that's fire element. Okay, so whenever we're focusing, when we're focusing and we're in balance, fire element's present. Whenever we're really ordered, organized, fire element's present. When we're engaged in precise and incisive intellectual focus, fire element is very present. Whenever we're critical or judgmental, fire element is present, but it's out of balance. Whenever we're sharp, forceful, pushy, fire element's out of balance. So in a pose, in any moment of life, we can be in or out of balance with these. And we'll learn more about this as we go along. So I'm just giving you a bit of a simple background at this stage so that you can maybe just start to, you know, recognize a little bit of the elements.